You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
Dave Rebson, studio host for the Big Ten Network. With MSU's wins over Illinois and Minnesota last week, is that enough to put them safely into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think you're never feeling totally safe when you're a bubble team until the bracket comes out on Selection Sunday. I would feel like of all of the bubble teams going in the Big Ten right now, I would think their chances are probably as good, if not better, than anyone else.
Now, here's Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Joined now by Rod Beard, Detroit News, covers Michigan basketball. Rod, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem at all.
Rod, question. When we talk Michigan, as we look at their resume, if they were to sweep Michigan State, is that good enough for them to get in, or do they need to do more in the Big Ten tournament?
It may end up being good enough, and people will point to top 50 RPI wins, and I think that's a big thing. But sweeping Michigan State and finishing with the tiebreakers and everything, fourth in the Big Ten, I think will weigh heavily, that people will say, hey, they may not have beaten Wisconsin or Purdue or Ohio State at all, but they beat everybody else except for Illinois. And when you look at how many teams the Big Ten might get, I think being that fourth seed when the Big Ten tournament comes around, if they can beat Illinois, I think they'll feel a little bit more comfortable. But just sweeping Michigan State may not be enough. It puts them on that bubble and maybe in that first four, one of those first four games that they still might be able to get into.
Rod, it's Scott here. What's more important? We've been talking about where the two programs are, Michigan, Michigan State. If they do win these two games over Michigan State this year, how important is that for just the bragging rights, or what's more important, that or the tournament prospects?
I think it's the tournament prospects, because if you look at the recruits that they want to get, and that's been one of the knocks on Coach John Beilein, is that he hasn't been able to get top-notch recruits. And recruits don't want to come unless you make it to the NCAA tournament, you have some type of national exposure. And they're starting to get that, they're getting the ball rolling with that, but I think they've got to be in the tournament at least. So when you go in a recruit's living room and you say, hey, we've been to the tournament two out of the past 3 years, and I think that makes a difference. They're almost playing with house money now because they've already won at state. They feel much better if they're able to win today as well. But I think they feel much better if they can get into the NCAA tournament, maybe get a 10 seed, get an upset, or who knows what could happen once they get in. But just being in the tournament is something big that you can tell a recruit.
Rod Beard, Detroit News, joining us, covers Michigan Wolverines basketball. Rod, when we talk about Beilein and how he is accepted among Michigan fans, I look at him, and when he was at West Virginia, even when he was going to Elite Eights, he never really had five-star recruits. Is this type of coaching something Michigan fans can get behind, or is he eventually going to have to start bringing in those four- and five-star recruits?
I don't think he has to bring in four- and five-star guys. And the funny thing is, I asked him that earlier this year, is it that you want five-star guys? Because he seems to do better with a Jordan Morgan-type guy that maybe a three-star that he can work with and make them into a four- or five-star guy. If you look at their roster, very few of their guys were highly recruited guys. Even Tim Hardaway Jr. was maybe a four-star guy that you thought could come in and give you double figures in points and certainly not have the impact that he's had. He wants five-star guys, but it's going to be tough for them to fit into his system where you don't have one guy who gets 20 points a game. You get a Darius Morris that has 16 points and 7 assists, and I think maybe that's the best that you can hope for, but I don't know about five-star guys and if that's something that he has to have. Michigan fans are used to the football model where you have five-star recruits all over the place and you're a top-five team every year, and that just doesn't happen anymore. For basketball, and especially in Beilein's system, you won't see that.
Should we consider Beilein a candidate for Coach of the Year? Does he deserve to be in that talk?
He deserves to be in the conversation. I don't think he'll win. I think that Thad Mott has done a wonderful job with the guys that he's had. And my pick would be Matt Painter, because the Purdue team just wasn't picked to do anything without Robbie Hummel. They were maybe picked to be maybe a third or a fourth or somewhere in that mix. And he's just done a masterful job to have them even in consideration to be one of the top two teams.
We're talking with Rod Beard from the Detroit News. He covers U of M hoops. Rod, what's been the biggest surprise with this Michigan basketball team this year?
I think the chemistry has been a surprise. You just didn't know what you would get out of the freshman. You didn't know if you'd get anything out of the freshman. You thought Tim Hardaway might be your leading scorer, and he might give you 10, 15 points a game, which he's doing, but he's also had these 30-point games and these 20-point games that you just didn't see. You wondered if that would come together. Jordan Morgan has done sort of the same thing, where he's given them some presence in the middle, and that was the big question mark, where they're going to get any kind of post presence from and post scoring. And they have a good 1-2-3 punch with Morris, Morgan, and Hardaway. And when you've got Douglas and Novak, who can add in some three-point shooting, you've got a good mix and a team that, if they make it to the NCAA tournament, could do some damage against some teams.
That's one of the things I've been wondering with the inside presence of Jordan Morgan. Beilein's always kind of moved his low post players outside. You saw Sims played more of the high post and outside. When did he decide to keep Morgan down low?
Well, because he knew he needed something, and you've got John Horford, you've got other guys, but that's just part of the offense, and he likes the big men who can have a free throw line extended level jumper, and maybe even some who can shoot three-pointers, because it draws the other team's big men out, and it opens up driving lanes, and you can kick to open three-point shooters on the wing. So that's just all part of that kind of hybrid Princeton offense that he runs, is to pull those guys out. But if you can have a guy who can run the pick and roll, which he and Darius Morris just do a great job at, you've got a big guy with good hands, with good movement, and it gets to the basket with his feet, you utilize that as much as you can, too. So he's done a good job of utilizing the talent that he has and catering the offense to fit with those guys.
Rod Beard, Detroit News, covers Michigan basketball, joining us here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Rod, that loss to Wisconsin was gut-wrenching for me, and I'm not a Michigan fan. How long did that linger in the locker room for them after that game?
I think for a couple of days. For the next practice after that, they said they kind of sulked about it and had their pity party, and then it was over and they moved on to that Minnesota game. And the Minnesota win was a key win because it's another road win, and you had to bounce back emotionally from that Wisconsin loss. And for them, they wouldn't say it, but I think that was the game that they counted on winning, and that would have punched their NCAA ticket. And this Michigan State game, again, would have just been house money. You wouldn't have worried about trying to win this game if you had won the Wisconsin game. Now you've got to kind of scrap and fight to try to get into the NCAA tournament because you didn't get that Wisconsin game. But they recovered really, really well from that. And some of these other losses they've had, too, earlier in the season, the close games, they bounce right back and get a win right after. So that's the sign of a veteran team, but you wouldn't expect it because these guys are so young.
Rod, I want to move ahead, or want to move to today's game. Last game, I got there a little late, got there partway through the first half. I walked in, and Zach Novak had already gone nuts. What can we expect today from Michigan?
I think you can expect maybe some jitters, maybe some nerves. They've had some good starts since they put Stu Douglas in the lineup instead of Evan Smotrich. At home, with all the electricity, the buzz, the pressure, you haven't seen them cave into a lot of pressure. I think this may be the game where they do that a little bit in the beginning of the game. I think you'll expect to see three-point shooting being an important factor in this. They've got to be able to make as many as they made at East Lansing. I think they made 10 out of 21 or something to that effect. If they can make 10, 12 three-pointers, I think they have a really good chance of winning because that's the key to make their offense go. When you start making those, you pull the defense out, and then you can go inside a little bit more. You can drive with Darius Morris. You can drive with Hardaway. I think they want to get Zach Novak, Stu Douglas started early because they know they can't rely just on Hardaway and Morris to do all of their scoring. So they might try to get some other guys involved in the very beginning to take some of that scoring pressure off. And I expect the same thing from State, too. They want to get someone else besides Draymond Green or Kalen Lucas on the board and involved. They want to get a Rowe or an Appling or someone else who can contribute and be that third or fourth guy.
You talked about atmosphere and electricity. What do you expect it to be like? How has the fan following been throughout the season?
The following hasn't been great. I think they've had maybe two or three sellouts, and this one was sold out a long time ago, and they've declared it a maze out, so it's going to be a lot of fanfare. And it's a CBS game, so it's a nationally televised thing, and I think the fans realize what's at stake here. It may not be pulling ahead of Michigan State, but it's at least giving them notice that, hey, this might be a rivalry again. You do have something to look forward to because all of these guys are young. They'll be back next year, and State is going to lose Lucas and Summers, and Green will be a senior. So as you look forward a couple of years, you could start seeing a changing of the guard and where the rivalry is a rivalry again, where it hasn't been that in the past 15 years or so.
How long, because that's interesting that you bring that up, because we've been talking about that a lot today, whether this is a program-building win, more importantly, or if it's a rivalry win, more importantly. And I guess, in my opinion, I feel like they've got to do this a couple years in a row before we start talking about gap control and starting to, you know, gain on that. In your opinion, does this win mean that they're starting to gain, or do they need to do this over a couple of years to really sort of say that they're closing in on that gap?
Oh, it's not closing the gap. It's just serving notice. It's kind of poking at the sleeping bear and letting him know that you're there. You haven't beaten the bear or done anything yet. State has been that bear. They've won so many games in this series. I think it's Michigan has won four out of the last 15 or 20 or whatever it is, that it's not a rivalry anymore. It's just like football was a few years ago, where State hadn't won very many, and Michigan was just kind of, oh, okay. Well, and that's where little brother sort of came from, because you had that air of arrogance that, hey, they're not going to beat us enough where it matters. And now that State's won three in a row in football, now it starts to make a difference, and you start to notice, well, hey, this is a team that we've got to watch out for. In basketball, it's not even close to being that, but you look at what could be in the next couple of years and say State isn't as loaded as they were. Next year's roster isn't going to be as treacherous as this one was, and what they've done with Final Fours and things like that. And with Michigan being able to just start to turn it around, it's just the beginning of anything. It's way too early to say it's a rivalry-changing, program-changing. For Michigan, it might be, because they haven't swept State since 97. But for State, this is just a small blip. This is more about them trying to get seeding in the Big Ten tournament, try to get that number four seed, and to try to get some better seeding in the NCAA tournament.
Rod Beard, Detroit News, with us, covers Michigan basketball. Rod, real quickly, if Michigan were to lose this game against Michigan State and go to the NIT, is this still considered a successful season in the program's eyes, or is it a missed opportunity for them?
I think it's a little of both. I think it's a missed opportunity, because they know with that Wisconsin win what could have been, but judging from what the preseason expectations were and having them finish 9, 10, 11 in the Big Ten, they win this game, they're number four in the Big Ten, which is, going back to the Coach of the Year discussion, completely unexpected for anybody. For the NIT, I think it helps, because it still gives them those additional practices and those additional games where they get that chemistry and they figure out who they are. And going into next season, they have a much better feel for who they are as a team, who some of these players are in their specific roles, and what they can do. I don't think it's do-or-die NCAA tournament for them. They'd be disappointed. They might not have a great NIT run, but I think the experience and gelling and working together is just as important as anything else.
Rob, what's your forecast for today's game?
I think Michigan wins 64-60. I think they find a way to get this game, and I just don't know if State has enough over the entire game. They might have a good start, but I don't know if they have enough toward the end of this game to put a Michigan team away that's played really well against some of its tougher competition this season.
Good stuff. Rod Beard, Detroit News, covers Michigan basketball. We appreciate it, Rod. Enjoy the game.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Rod Beard, Detroit News. When we come back, we'll also talk to Joe Rexroad, Lansing State Journal. Got the Michigan State side of this thing at 10:30. When we come back, we'll re-rack what we've been talking about with the Michigan MSU. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.